Chapter 2. Baptista. Apostrophe apostrophe, Signor. Apostrophe apostrophe, a gentleman who is presented to me will dine here today. He is called the Signor Dellombra. Let me dine like a prince. Apostrophe, it was an odd name. I did not know that name. But, there had been many noblemen and gentlemen pursued by Austria on political suspicions, lately, and some names had changed. Perhaps this was one. Altro. Dellombra was as good a name to me as another. When the Signor Dellombra came to dinner, said the Genese courier in a low voice, into which he had subsided once before, I showed him into the reception room, the great sala of the old palazzo. Master received him with cordiality, and presented him to mistress. As she rose, her face changed, she gave a cry, and fell upon the marble floor. Then, I turned my head to the Signor Dellombra, and saw that he was dressed in black, and had a reserved and secret air, and was a dark, remarkable-looking man, with black hair and a gray mustache. Master raised mistress in his arms, and carried her to her own room, where I sent La Bella Carolina straight. La Bella told me afterwards that mistress was nearly terrified to death, and that she wandered in her mind about her dream, all night. Master was vexed, and anxious, almost angry, and yet full of solicitude. The Signor Dellombra was a courtly gentleman, and spoke with great respect and sympathy of mistress's being so ill. The African wind had been blowing for some days, they had told him at his hotel of the Maltese Cross, and he knew that it was often hurtful. He hoped the beautiful lady would recover soon. He begged permission to retire, and to renew his visit, when he should have the happiness of hearing that she was better. Master would not allow of this, and they dined alone. He withdrew early. Next day he called at the gate, on horseback, to inquire for mistress. He did so two or three times in that week. What I observed myself, and what La Bella Carolina told me, united to explain to me that master had now set his mind on curing mistress of her fanciful terror. He was all kindness, but he was sensible and firm. He reasoned with her, that to encourage such fancies was to invite melancholy, if not madness. That it rested with herself to be herself. That if she once resisted her strange weakness, so successfully as to receive the Signor Dellombra as an English lady would receive any other guest, it was forever conquered. To make an end, the Signor came again, and mistress received him without marked distress, though with constraint and apprehension still, and the evening passed serenely. Master was so delighted with this change, and so anxious to confirm it, that the Signor Dellombra became a constant guest. He was accomplished in pictures, books, and music, and his society, in any grim palazzo, would have been welcome. I used to notice, many times, that mistress was not quite recovered. She would cast down her eyes and droop her head, before the Signor Dellombra, or would look at him with a terrified and fascinated glance, as if his presence had some evil influence or power upon her. Turning from her to him, I used to see him in the shaded gardens, or the large half-lighted sala, looking, as I might say, fixedly upon her out of darkness. Apostrophe, but, truly, I had not forgotten La Bella Carolina's words describing the face in the dream. After his second visit I heard Master say, Now, see, my dear Clara, it's over. Dellombra has come and gone, and your apprehension is broken like glass. Apostrophe, will he ever come again? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked mistress. Again? Why, surely, over and over again. Are you cold? Apostrophe, she shivered. No, dear buddy terrifies me. Are you sure that he need come again? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the surer for the question, Clara. Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied Master, cheerfully. But, he was very hopeful of her complete recovery now, and grew more and more so every day. She was beautiful. He was happy. All goes well, Baptista? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he would say to me again. Yes, Signer, thank God. Very well. Apostrophe, we were all, said the Janice courier, constraining himself to speak a little louder. We were all at Rome for the carnival. I had been out, all day, with a Sicilian, a friend of mine, and a courier, who was there with an English family. As I returned at night to our hotel, I met the little Carolina, who never stirred from home alone, running distractedly along the Corso. Carolina. What's the matter? Apostrophe, O Baptista. Oh, for the Lord's sake. Where is my mistress? Apostrophe, mistress, Carolina? Apostrophe, apostrophe, gone, since morning told me, when master went out on his day's journey, not to call her, for she was tired with not resting in the night having been in pain, and would lie in bed until the evening, then get up refreshed. She is gone. She is gone. Master has come back, broken down the door, and she is gone. My beautiful, my good, my innocent mistress. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the pretty little one so cried, and raved, and tore herself, that I could not have held her, but for her swooning on my arm, as if she had been shot. Master came up in manner, face, or voice, no more the master that I knew, than I was he. He took me, I laid the little one upon her bed in the hotel, and left her with the chamber women, in a carriage, furiously through the darkness, across the desolate Campagna. When it was day, and we stopped at a miserable post house, all the horses had been hired 12 hours ago, and sent away in different directions. Mark me. By the Signor Dellombra, who had passed there in a carriage, with a frightened English lady crouching in one corner. I never heard, said the Genese courier, drawing a long breath, that she was ever traced beyond that spot. All I know is, that she vanished into infamous oblivion, with the dreaded face beside her, that she had seen in her dream. What do you call that? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the German courier, triumphantly. Ghosts. There are no ghosts there. What do you call this, that I am going to tell you? Ghosts. There are no ghosts here. Apostrophe, I took an engagement once, pursued the German courier, with an English gentleman, elderly and a bachelor, to travel through my country, my fatherland. He was a merchant who traded with my country, and knew the language, but who had never been there, since he was a boy as I judge, some 60 years before. His name was James, and he had a twin brother John, also a bachelor. Between these brothers there was a great affection. They were in business together, at Goodman's Fields, but they did not live together. Mr. James dwelt in Poland Street, turning out of Oxford Street, London. Mr. John resided by Epping Forest. Mr. James and I were to start for Germany in about a week. The exact day depended on business. Mr. John came to Poland Street where I was staying in the house, to pass that week with Mr. James. But, he said to his brother on the second day, I don't feel very well, James. There's not much the matter with me, but I think I am a little gouty. I'll go home, and put myself under the care of my old housekeeper, who understands my ways. If I get quite better, I'll come back, and see you before you go. If I don't feel well enough, to resume my visit, where I leave it off, why you will come and see me before you go. Apostrophe Mr. James, of course, said he would, and they shook hands both hands, as they always did, and Mr. John ordered out his old-fashioned chariot and rumbled home. It was on the second night after, that is to say, the fourth in the week, when I was awoke out of my sound sleep by Mr. James coming into my bedroom in his flannel gown, with a lighted candle. He sat upon the side of my bed, and looking at me, said, Wilhelm, I have reason to think I have got some strange illness upon me. Apostrophe, I then perceived, that there was a very unusual expression in his face. Wilhelm, apostrophe, said he, I am not afraid, or ashamed to tell you, what I might be afraid, or ashamed to tell another man. You come from a sensible country, where mysterious things are inquired into, and are not settled to have been weighed and measured, or to have been unweighable and unmeasurable, or in either case to have been completely disposed of, for all time ever, so many years ago. I have just now seen the phantom of my brother. Apostrophe, I confess, said the German courier, that it gave me a little tingling of the blood to hear it. I have just now seen, apostrophe Mr. James repeated, looking full at me, that I might see how collected he was, the phantom of my brother John. I was sitting up in bed, unable to sleep, when it came into my room, in a white dress, and regarding me earnestly, passed up to the end of the room, glanced at some papers on my writing desk, turned, and, still looking earnestly at me as it passed the bed, went out at the door. Now, I am not in the least mad, and am not in the least disposed to invest that phantom with any external existence out of myself. I think it is a warning to me that I am ill, and I think I had better be bled. Apostrophe, I got out of bed directly, said the German courier, and began to get on my clothes, begging him not to be alarmed, and telling him that I would go myself to the doctor. I was just ready, when we heard a loud knocking and ringing at the street door. My room being an attic at the back, and Mr. James being the second floor room in the front, we went down to his room, and put up the window, to see what was the matter. Is that Mr. James? Apostrophe apostrophe said a man below, falling back to the opposite side of the way to look up. It is, apostrophe said Mr. James, and you are my brother's man, Robert. Apostrophe, yes, sir. I am sorry to say, sir, that Mr. John is ill. He is very bad, sir. It is even feared that he may be lying at the point of death. He wants to see you, sir. I have a chaise here. Pray come to him. Pray lose no time. Apostrophe, Mr. James and I looked at one another. Wilhelm, apostrophe said he, this is strange. I wish you to come with me. Apostrophe I helped him to dress, partly there and partly in the chaise, and no grass grew under the horse's iron shoes between Poland Street and the forest. Now, mind, said the German courier, I went with Mr. James into his brother's room, and I saw and heard myself what follows. His brother lay upon his bed, at the upper end of a long bedchamber. His old housekeeper was there, and others were there. I think three others were there, if not four, and they had been with him since early in the afternoon. He was in white, like the figure necessarily so, because he had his nightdress on. He looked like the figure necessarily so, because he looked earnestly at his brother when he saw him come into the room. But, when his brother reached the bedside, he slowly raised himself in bed, and looking full upon him, said these words. James, you have seen me before, tonight and you know it. Apostrophe apostrophe, and so died. I waited, when the German courier ceased, to hear something said of this strange story. The silence was unbroken. I looked round, and the five couriers were gone. So noiselessly that the ghostly mountain might have absorbed them into its eternal snows. By this time, I was by no means in a mood to sit alone in that awful scene, with the chill air coming solemnly upon me, or, if I may tell the truth, to sit alone anywhere. So I went back into the convent parlor, and, finding the American gentleman still disposed to relate the biography of the Honorable Ananias Dodger, heard it all out. End of Project Gutenberg's A Text of To Be Read at Dusk, by Charles Dickens. RDDSK by Gutenberg Edition.